Welcome to Torimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 58. In the last Perek, Yeshayahu rebukes the nation for serving idols and warns them of the inevitable punishment that will come for their betrayal and immorality. The second section of the Perek was the beginning of the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. Hashem encourages the people to do tshuva, and if they do, Hashem will help them and heal them. The Rasha'im, who give in to their wicked thoughts, will be lost forever. This parak begins with Hashem teaching the people how to do tshuva. We have been learning the last few prokim with a single commentary to have an overview of the many commentaries who explain this beautiful sefer. We will be learning this parak with the approach of the Barbanel. Don Isaac Barbanel was a scholar from Portugal who lived in the 15th century. In addition to his rabbinic work, he is notable for his work as the treasurer of King Afonso V of Portugal. Don Isaac Barbanel tried to prevent the expulsion of the Jews from Spain and Portugal, but eventually had to go into exile with his people. He wrote his commentary on Yeshayahu in Monopoly, Italy, after the expulsion. In the last parak, Yeshayahu blamed the leaders for not guiding the people to do tshuva. Hashem will now tell Yeshayahu how to lead the people by enthusiastically and clearly telling the people what to do and what they are doing wrong. There are four phrases that Hashem tells him that emphasize how and what he should say. Pasuk 1. First, kra begaron, cry out with your throat. Second, al tachshoch, do not hold back. Third, kashofar harem kolecha, like a shofar raise your voice. And fourth, v'hageid l'ami pisham ulevesi Yaakov chatosam, tell my nation their sins, and to the house of Yaakov also tell them their sins. These instructions are very specific and intentional. Yeshayahu is told to call with his throat, which is the part of the body that makes loud sounds. A loud voice is needed to share a message across distance or obstacles, whether it is physical distance or emotional distance. People use loud voices when the speaker is angry, the listener is deaf, the listener is far away, or there's a physical barrier between them. All these apply to the Jewish people. Hashem is upset by their sins. The people refuse to listen and act as if they are deaf, as it has been mentioned before in previous parakim. The sins have caused there to be a large spiritual distance between the Jewish people and Hashem, and it's as if the sin has put up a barrier between the Jewish people and Hashem. The Navi's loud cry will bridge the gap and get through the people's indifference to reach their hearts. Next, Hashem also told Yeshayahu not to hold back. This is a warning that he will need to share his rebuke multiple times to be effective. When a person is sick, they go to a doctor. The more ill they are, the more often the doctor will check in and adjust their medication. When they are the most ill, they are in the hospital with more direct care. The same applies to spiritual healers. The more spiritually ill a person is, the more often they will need to hear the messages to have an impact. Yeshayahu will need to share his message many times to effect change. He will need to share this message even when he feels threatened. The third instruction that Yeshayahu got was to sound like a shofar. A shofar is blown for a specific reason. It could be sounded on Rosh Hashanah or before going to a war. It's not a regular instrument that's played for pleasure. Just like the shofar, the Navi is being asked to talk because it is needed for the time. The Navi needs to tailor his message to the time and circumstance he is addressing. Another characteristic of the shofar is that it makes three distinct sounds which evoke different emotions. Similarly, the Navi cannot say the same message to all people. He must tailor his message to his audience. Sometimes his message needs to be simple and clear like the Tekiah. Other times it requires sharp insights and complex ideas like the Trua. And sometimes it needs to be somewhere in between like the Shvarim. The message should be changed based on who is listening. Finally, Hashem told Yeshayahu to tell my nation and then the house of Yaakov their sins. Hashem was telling Yeshayahu that he should first rebuke the leaders, the people called Ami, my nation, and then speak to the common people. People are often scared to speak against the people in power. Hashem is saying that this is who Yeshayahu needs to speak with first because they are ultimately responsible. In specific, one of the problems with this leadership is that they make themselves look very righteous, but their insides don't match their outsides. These people, Pasuk 2, V'osi yom yom yedrashun v'das drachai yechpatsun. They seek me every day, and they take pleasure in knowing my ways. This might sound ideal, but it's not. Although they are not very righteous or learned, they study deep philosophical concepts to understand theology. This kind of learning is only appropriate for Kigoy Asher Tzedakah Asa, a nation that is already doing tzedakah. A person needs to have mastered the basics before exploring ideas that would have no practical outcome. Yishaluni Mishpatei Tzedek Kirvas Elokim Yechpatzun. First ask me about the laws of being righteous, and then we can talk about the delight of being close to Hashem and understanding mystical concepts. The Abarbanel offers a second interpretation of this pasuk. He says that the people were complaining that they are being treated every day like Rasha'im, when really they are tzaddikim. They were asking the question of tzaddik v'ra'lo, why do bad things happen to good people? These people were misrepresenting themselves. Hashem says to them that they should first ask how to do the right thing before questioning Hashem's decision and assuming that what they are doing is right. These Rishatim want to know, Pasuk 3, Lamet Samnu v'lo Ra'isa, why are we fasting and Hashem is not seeing it? They realize that Hashem is not accepting their tefillos. They are assuming that they are righteous and that therefore their request should be automatically granted. Hashem tells them that they are not as righteous as they assume and their fasts are not as meaningful as they hope. V'yom tzomchem tzimtzu chefet. On your fast days, when you're supposed to be so righteous, you do your business rather than doing tshuva. You don't give tzedakah or do good deeds. The day is focused on yourself. When the people gather in shul, they meet up with people who they haven't seen in a while, and then they have arguments because they had a business problem a bit ago, and they get into fights. Pasuk 4. Hein lariv umatza tatsumu, ulakos begrof rasha. Behold, for fighting and contention you fast. You are looking forward to fast days so you can get into arguments with all these people who you can't stand, and you hit with fists of wickedness. Rather than the gatherings being spiritual, they turn into brawls. Their fasts are not kayom, lashmiya bamarom kolchem, like Yom Kippur, where the purpose is to make their voices heard in heaven. They are not davening and having the proper intentions. So it is strange that they think that they deserve so much credit for the fast they observe. Hashem acknowledges that fasting is indeed an important spiritual tool, but he asks them a question. What kind of fast does Hashem want? Does he want them to afflict themselves, to sit with their head bowed and with ashes? Pasuk 5. Hadlazet tikrat som v'yom ratzon Hashem? Is this what is called a fast to Hashem that is wanted by Hashem? These are all external actions meant for an audience. They are not the purpose of the fast. What Hashem wants more than minimizing their physical pleasures is to improve themselves and help others. He wants them to let those who are trapped in slavery, who are an Evet Ivri, be set free after the 7 years when they're meant to be released. They should realize, Pasuk 7, Halo paros l'ra'ev lachmecha baniyem rudim tavi bavayis. Isn't the goal for you to give your bread to the hungry and to bring the neglected poor to your house? When you see someone naked, you should cover him, and don't ignore your relatives who need help. In addition to fasting, a fast should have with it acts of chesed. When a person does tzedakah on a fast day, Hashem will give him a reward in this world. Pasuk 8. Azibaka kashachar orecha. When the light of the morning breaks, your light will shine. Meaning every day, the person will have many brachos, health and prosperity. Hashem will take care of him even in old age. By giving tzedakah, he will be honored when he dies. The tzedakah will always be connected to who he is. However, if all a person does is give tzedakah and fast, that is not enough. They may be rewarded in this world, but they must still do more. They must do teshuva. Pasuk 9. Az tikra, when you call out to Hashem with sincerity, not questioning why Hashem has not done more for you, v'Hashem ya'aneh, then Hashem will answer these tefilos. Teshava, when you cry in tshuva and do not question whether Hashem hears you, v'yomar hineni, Hashem will say, here I am. Im tasir mitocha mota shlach etzba, if you remove from yourself the yoke and the finger pointing, meaning, if you stop presenting yourself as an all-suffering righteous martyr, pointing out how great he is, then Hashem will forgive you. The person must stop sinning in thought, speech, and action. Then he will get the ultimate reward from Hashem. The fast is not a necessary component of the process. The goal of denying oneself pleasure on a fast day is to bring a person to do tshuva, not as a goal unto itself. When a person does tshuva and also does chesed, pasuk 10, v'zarach b'choshech orecha v'afeilascha katzarayim, then your light will rise in the darkness and your darkness will be like the noonday. This reward is different than the reward for tzedakah mentioned before. Before, the reward was that the person had light when it was day. The blessings for giving tzedakah without tshuva came during a time of blessing. Here, the reward is that the light shines in the dark when it is a time of judgment in the world. The giver of tzedakah who does tshuva will still get blessings even when others do not. In addition, while the reward for tzedakah was only in this world, there is an additional world for doing tshuva, which will be, pasuk 11, V'nachacha Hashem tamid, v'hispia b'tzach tachos nafshecha. And Hashem will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. The pasuk says that Hashem will always lead this person. Since life in this world eventually ends, this pasuk means Hashem will guide him forever in Gan Eden, in the world of the souls, where he will have the pleasure of Olam Haba after he dies. V'atzmosecha yachalitz. And then your bones will become strong. This person will be resurrected from the dead in the time of the Geula. There will also be a reward in this world. He will rebuild the ruins for generations, and he will be known as, Pasuk 12, Goder Peretz Mishovev Nesivos Lasheves, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. These are the titles, very complimentary titles, that people give to the most generous philanthropists in society, and they will use them when referring to him. The reward of someone who does tshuva and gives tzedakah is greater than one who just gives tzedakah. The person who did tshuva is rewarded in this world and the next world. What he did was not particularly exceptional and superhuman. He chose to listen to Hashem, turn away from doing evil, and did good for those in need, and he got an infinite reward. When a person does tshuva and keeps Shabbos, which demonstrates a belief in Hashem, his reward is even greater. Pasuk 13, Im tashiv mishabbos raglecha, if you don't walk on Shabbos in the way you always walk, asos chafatzecha biyom kachi, and you stop yourself from doing business on my holy day, v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, and you treat Shabbos differently, you call Shabbos a delight by having good food and clean clothing, and you do all this not because it is enjoyable for you, but because it is for l'kdosh Hashem mechubad, for the holy Hashem who is honorable. When a person changes how they walk and how they talk on Shabbos, they get a reward for calling Shabbos an oneg. Just like they call Shabbos an oneg, they will also, Pasuk 14, az tisanag al Hashem, they will also take delight in Hashem. As a reward for not walking as one walks during the week, mihir kavticha al bamasei aretz, and I will make you ride upon the high places of the earth. And in reward for not doing business on Shabbos, v'hachalticha nachalas Yaakov avicha, I will feed you with the heritage of Yaakov your father. In reward for keeping Shabbos, the Jewish people will merit Geula and inherit the land of Israel, which is the heritage of Yaakov. Chazal say that one who delights in Shabbos is given an inheritance without boundaries. Just like Yaakov Avinu was promised that he would spread out to the north, west, east, and south in Israel in the times of the Geula, Chazal say that one who delights in Shabbos is given an inheritance without boundaries like Yaakov their father. In addition, one who delights in Shabbos, who enjoys Shabbos, is given the desires of his heart. In this perek, Hashem told Yeshayahu to rebuke the people loudly and often to try to break through their indifference. The leaders think that they are being unfairly punished as their fasts are not being acknowledged. Yeshayahu tells them that more important than fasting is giving tzedakah and caring for the needy, which will bring them a reward in this world. Even better than tzedakah is doing tshuva, which causes a person to earn reward in this world and the next. When a person does tshuva and keeps Shabbos, not only by not doing melacha, but by making the day qualitatively different, by strolling, by not discussing business, and by enjoying the day for Hashem's sake, his reward is the geula, and a reward without boundaries in this world and the next. There are so many important lessons in this perek. Hashem tells Yeshayahu that he needs to repeat his messages multiple times, just like a doctor needs to visit his patient many times. As the spiritual patients, we need to realize that it takes time to heal and not get discouraged when we are not perfect right away. When we move from ignorance about something or resistance to an idea to being open to hearing about it, that is growth, and we should encourage ourselves when we notice the change. When we move from not caring to wanting to want to change, we are already on the path of tshuva. When we want to change, we can call to Hashem and ask for his help, and he will answer. Another lesson in this perek is the importance of making Shabbos special. Being a Shomer Shabbos, keeping all the halachos of Shabbos, the 39 malachos, has tremendous rewards and will bring the geula, as we learned in a previous perek. But Hashem says he has more to give to us. If we make Shabbos special by keeping our conversations focused on ideas and not people or business, and we make sure that our day is uplifted with spirituality, it is not the regular day that we have the rest of the week, our reward is infinitely greater. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.